Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Increase your communication and empathy skills by reading minds using body language. Meet mentalist Christopher Carter. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Christopher Carter. Now, Christopher is from a suburb of Chicago, and he has a super interesting passion. On one side of his passion, he is a mentalist. He can read minds, and we're going to be talking about that. The other way he helps people is as a keynote speaker. Two of the programs that he has founded and is achieving a lot of success with is one titled Achieving the Impossible and another titled Power Listening Series. So before we move on here, Christopher, first, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real thrill to be on with you today.
I'm super excited because we recently met at the National Speakers Association Winter Conference in Austin, Texas. And so I know that you are a professional speaker, and I know that as a new professional speaker, I have a lot to learn from you and what you've done. And I just love your personal spin on it and how your personality shines through.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, we all have things to learn. Nobody ever stops learning.
Right. So now this part of the show, we always start with some kind of passage that is meaningful to my guest. Do you have one that you hold dear?
Well, not a specific passage, but really just a premise. And the premise being that we all can achieve whatever we set our mind to. You know, I find those in a range of texts, but there's never been one thing that captures it, just that central idea.
Tell us how you connect to that.
I connect to that because as a child, I was extremely shy, painfully shy. And yet, on the other side, I always wanted to be a performer, an entertainer. And I think you can probably see that these two collide. There's no way you can stand up in front of an audience when you are crippled by fear and anxiety. And things transpired over my life to convince me that I had control over that, that I could control the way that I relate to other people. And that served to make me confident enough to become a professional entertainer and ultimately a professional speaker. So my message is always one of empowerment. You can achieve what you set your mind to. It does require change, but it can be done.
You know, something though that I'm envisioning when you talk about being a painfully shy child is the fact that while you were shy, you were probably an incredible observer.
And it's funny because on any online forum, observer is the nickname I give to myself. I've always been an observer. You know, for me, it started when I was a little kid. I was the one who stood in the back and watched because I was too afraid to join in. And then one day I got a book on body language and I learned, oh my gosh, not only can I read people, but I can use my own body language to influence their perceptions. And that changed everything for me.
You know what? You and I have that in common, this love for body language. And I do talk about it on the show a lot and how when you understand body language, it's as if people are speaking to you and telling you things and you know and you feel like they told you, but they don't even know that they told you.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, we all tend to think of other people as puzzles to be solved. To me, that's not the real point of body language. To me, the real point of body language is to create empathy so that we understand that what other people are saying, thinking, and feeling, but we also understand that we're hiding the same things. It makes connections with people, and I think that is what makes it so powerful.
Wow, wow, wow. I love that. So it makes perfect sense to me why you would be this shy child, because this was your purpose to move into doing these things for people. So tell everybody what exactly your passion is and how you're using it, because I think we have a good picture of where it began for you.
Well, yeah, my passion really is people. On a one-on-one basis, I have to admit I still carry a little bit of that shyness with me. But my passion is people, and it goes back to my childhood. You know, when I was 10 years old, my parents bought me a magic set, and a terrible thing happens when you give a painfully shy 10-year-old a magic set. You create a monster. So everywhere they went, I would be a few inches behind them. Mom, Dad, let me show you a trick. Let me show you a trick. And after about 6 months of this, they got the idea that I needed to get some other interests. So their little scheme was to send me to spend summers visiting my uncle, well, really my mother's uncle. And among many things that happened, I used to watch him play poker. And he stunk. He was terrible. Every time he had a halfway decent hand, he would sort of twist and fidget with his wedding band, and this light bulb went off in my head. People broadcast their thoughts.
Yes.
So when I came home, I told my mother. My mom is a psychologist. She's a counselor, and she thought, oh my gosh, he has some other interests. Let me give him some books about it. And so she gave me these books on body language, and within about 3 months, I had developed what I guess you could call a mind trick, where I would have people concentrate on playing cards and just have them look me in the eyes as I called out, think of whether it's red or black, high or low, and all of the various permutations. And I would figure out through their body language response, without them speaking a word, what playing card they were thinking of. And they flipped out. I mean, they just thought, oh my gosh, he's inside my head. And suddenly I had something that I could do that none of my friends could do and that had an impact on people. And that was eye-opening. Well, let's fast forward a few years. I get to college. I had been an overweight kid my entire life, but for those last few months before college, I lost about 50 pounds. And I went into college being, well, you could describe it as sort of the stereotype of the person you might think would win friends and influence people. I was tall, lean, I had thick hair, I was a pretty good-looking guy, and I didn't. And the reason that I didn't is because I carried with me the body language that I had built up through all those years of being rejected by people. And it created a barrier between me and other people. And it was very difficult for me to create relationships. And then I began to think back that on the body language I learned, and it dawned on me that it wasn't about reading people. You know, if you look at somebody and their body language shows you that they're being defensive, then your goal, if you're a knowledgeable person, is to think, how can I make them more comfortable? What can I do to build them up so that they will open up and connect with me? But if you're not, if you're like most people, you don't think, oh, why are they feeling so insecure? You think, why are they rejecting me? Because we all make it about ourselves. And so my first step was to analyze and understand the body language of somebody who was successful in social situations, who was confident, and began to adopt that body language. And it was transformative. It changed me. And eventually I became that confident person that I was pretending to be for those few months during this transition period.
This is profound. Like, to me, this is profound. You were young. And B, you were so pensive and introspective and observant, and all of these observations really led you to something. I mean, did you have any role modeling, or were you doing this all on your own?
No, I really didn't have any role modeling. I mean, I wouldn't say I was doing it all on my own, because there were people who were role models for various kinds of behavior, people who were confident. But I was reading this, and at the time, all that was published about body language for a public audience was how to read people. Again, treating people like they're a puzzle to be solved. But I did make the connection that that's not what really body language is all about. When we look at somebody's body language, we shouldn't be thinking, what are they thinking? What are they trying to hide? We should be thinking, what does their body language tell us? What does it communicate to us? And then we have to realize that our own body language does exactly the same. Every time somebody's looking at us, they're unconsciously making judgments, and we can shape those judgments. We can't control them, but we can shape them. I talk about my passion being people. It's because I know due to the fact that I can read people, that we all have these facades and we all share the same insecurities. I don't care whether you are somebody who appears to be confident. Nobody has perfect confidence and nobody has perfect self-awareness. So I feel that by teaching the insight that comes from nonverbal communication, that it empowers people to take control of their own destiny. And that is what excites me.
I love everything that you just said. And I'm curious, what was your college degree in?
Well, I was a theater and business double major with a minor in psychology, which is probably what you would say of somebody who couldn't figure out exactly what it is he wanted to do. Followed a lot of different interests. But again, communication really was what it all boiled down to.
Yeah, but I would also say it's not someplace I would see somebody who was painfully shy either, though.
No, well, the opposite edge to that painfully shy is also hyper-driven. I mean, I knew what I wanted to achieve. I had a very strong vision of it. And even though the steps that were necessary were often terrifying to me, for example, being in front of an audience, I believe that fear is something that we all have to face, but we all have to conquer. And so, yes, I had no doubt or no illusion that it was going to be a challenging job for me, but I knew what I needed to do. And I always figure if you know what you need to do, then just do it. Being scared, fine. Acknowledge you're scared and move on.
See, that's the part that I find most amazing is that you knew what to do. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. I don't want to sugarcoat this. I didn't know exactly what to do, but I knew where I wanted to go. And so I had a clear view of that. And I picked the areas that I thought would be most likely to get me there.
Right.
For example, theater major. I had never acted a day in my life. But I thought, well, I better learn how to do this, how to get up in front of people and interact and relate. So I auditioned for the theater program, which was a Bachelor of Fine Arts program, and they also had a Bachelor of Arts program. They looked at me at the audition, and they said, you know, you're not really very good at this, are you? And I said, nope, you're absolutely right. But then I pointed out, I should add to this that I auditioned as a sophomore, not a freshman, knowing that they were probably going to reject me. And I said, but take a look at my GPA. It's 4.0. Don't you think you need a 4.0 GPA in your roster? And they went, well, yeah, we do. And so they let me in as a Bachelor of Arts instead of a Bachelor of Fine Arts. And I don't like taking no for an answer.
Well, you know, I remember that you said you were on the road 190 days last year.
Yeah, that's about right.
And tell everybody, when you're on the road, what are you doing?
Well, the primary thing I'm doing is either performing or speaking. In those 190 days, almost every day of those is a performance or a speech or lecture presentation. As an entertainer, as you pointed out, I'm a mentalist. I read minds. Ooh. Well, okay, I read people, but it looks exactly like I read minds. It's very funny, very engaging, and it reminds people of the power that the communication gives to us. And so that's what led then to the speaking ultimately. And I do my speaking on college campuses with a program called Student Body Language, and then in for corporate events in two programs, one Achieving the Impossible and then the other, my Power Listening programs. So that's what I'm doing. But what else am I doing? I'm getting up early to go to the airplane. I'm driving to spots. I'm checking into hotels, and I'm making phone calls and doing all of the things that an entrepreneur has to do. Just imagine running a full-time small business while you're constantly traveling. That's what I do.
Yes, I can imagine that. To tell you the truth, I can imagine that.
you'll be living it very, very shortly.
Yes. So, Christopher, you leave college. Mm-hmm. What do you do next?
Well, the first thing that I do when I leave college is go to graduate school, where I worked on a PhD in theater history and criticism, which is what you would do if you thought, I'm going to become a theater professor. Now, did I have an interest in being a theater professor? Not really. No. What I had was everybody telling me, oh, don't go into show business. You're probably going to starve. And you better have something to fall back on. And like I said, I was a bookish kid. I did very well. I managed to get a free ride to the University of Michigan. And so that's the first thing I did. That was my fallback. 2 years into that, I realized, I actually had an epiphany that I couldn't do this any longer. I had to follow my dream. So I told my wife, I want to move to Chicago and become a performer. And my wife said, I've been waiting 2 years for you to say this. Uh-huh. Now let's make a plan. And so we did. So that was what I would call a misstep along the way.
To make that plan, to make that decision, you're envisioning yourself making that move, because I know I have listeners right there who can really connect to what you just said about knowing you weren't doing what you were meant to do, knowing you wanted to make a move. But that leap, what were your hesitations or your challenges that you had to kind of overcome to make that?
My first challenge was the fact that I didn't know what I didn't know. And so that was the first step for me, was to start to ask other professional entertainers, how do you do this? And some are very forthcoming and some are not. But, you know, I needed to dip at least enough of a foot in the water that I was going to get wet in this process, that I was going to begin to understand the ins and outs of the business. And the second thing is that I realized I needed a product, because, you know, I understood intuitively that it is not just show, but also business. And if it's a business, you have to have something to sell. So I had 2 more years to go in my program. I was a teaching assistant, and hate to say it, but I kind of started to slack off on the academic stuff, enough to keep up and enough to keep my assistantship stipend. And I spent most of my spare time developing a show, something to sell. So between these two processes, by the end of that 2 year, I felt like I had enough of a foundation that when I did get to Chicago, which I picked because it was the nearest big city and, again, seemed like a good idea at the time. When I got there, you know, I felt that I had enough basic knowledge and enough foundation that I could get a start. That was the very first step, finding out what I don't know and taking steps to learn it, and then also trying to lay in sort of an infrastructure of a business.
What do you think you've learned about yourself through all of that?
The most important thing I've learned is that I will never have perfect knowledge of what it is I don't know, but that's no excuse not to do something. I think the single most valuable thing I've learned is that action is always better than inaction. It is so easy to overplan, to say, I'm not going to start until I have everything in place. And that is, to my mind, a fatal mistake. You learn as you go. You know, for example, at the end of that 2 years, I thought I had a lot of knowledge. And then I got to the real world and I found that I didn't have very much knowledge at all, that the people who were successful knew far more than I did. But I also saw that the things that I needed to learn, I could only learn by both doing and interacting with the people who do it. So it was okay. I mean, you know, it's like when you graduate from college, you have a degree, but you don't have experience. You have to get experience. I guess the other thing I learned is that it's okay to be bad for a while, because that's the only way you're ever going to get any good at it. So my early performances and my early presentations, they weren't as good as they should have been. But if you don't get yourself in front of an audience, you'll never make them better.
Yeah, I feel the same way about my first however many podcasts too. I won't even go back and listen, but eventually I will. But right now, just not yet.
Well, I don't look at early video of me.
Yeah, exactly right. I don't want to know. So something that I have been on the search for, and I couldn't find it on my own, and maybe you can help me, is I was really looking for a really comprehensive book on body language. Is there one that you could recommend?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, there is. I will suggest two options. Well, actually, I'm going to suggest three. Option number one, to my mind, one of the very best comprehensive books on body language for what I would call a lay audience, a public that hasn't come in contact with the real research and academic work, is a book called What Every Body Is Saying. What Everybody Is Saying, What Every Body Is Saying, mm-hmm. by a guy named Joe Navarro. And the reason that this is so good is because he teaches body language from a functional perspective, which means that he's trying to get you to understand why it communicates what it does communicate. Because once you understand the science and psychology behind it, you don't have to analyze it nearly as much. So it is an excellent, excellent book. The next one that I would suggest is, well, it's not a specific book, but a clutch. I would recommend that some people look into academic books. If you look on Amazon, you'll find that there are a whole bunch of books that are designed for textbooks. Those are the best because they actually have a bibliography that shows you where all the nitty-gritty research is. But they're dry. They're not nearly as much fun. Joe Navarro's book, What Everybody Is Saying, is an easy read. It's very fun, and it's conceptually simple. I mean, like I said, once you get what he's talking about, it just like a flower blooming. The petals open up, and you get to see all of it in all of its glory. Final book I would recommend is my book. It's called Student Body Language, and it's available on Kindle and on my website, which is ChristopherCarter.com.
Okay, I am going to check those out for sure. If not the middle one, probably just yet, but the first one and the third one for sure, because it's just been an interest of my own. So for similar reasons, I think, as you, not that I would necessarily take it in the direction you did, but who knows, you never know. But just something about communication in general with people and just connecting and relating to people in a way that you can, I don't know if it's just a feeling that you get from them. I'm not sure. Maybe you can define what I'm trying to say better.
Well, I think what you're getting at is what we've been hinting at all the way through. Communication is the way that we build bridges and trust with other people. And it is science. It is science, but it's also, you know, experiential. You can analyze it, but you have to live it as well. And when you live it, you know, the communication, the trust, the rapport with other people, it just comes. When you're living it in the moment, you're not analyzing it constantly. You're just experiencing it. You make it happen. It's a wonderful thing.
Right. Okay. So this part of the show is the Motivate Me Express to Success. So it's quick 60-second responses or less, because I believe to get people to act, they need to first envision something for themselves, then explore what it would take to make it happen, and then execute a plan. So take that first step. So I think what we're really talking about here is to give it a broader topic or more general, would say, to kind of get into the entertainment field in this way that you're talking about, whether it's body language, whether even it's public speaking or any other form of entertainment. What do you think people need to envision for themselves?
They need to envision themselves as confident, self-actualized, to use a kind of a fancy word, confident people who are comfortable in their own skin, because you can't listen to the audience until you're not worried about what they think about you.
Right, because then you have that sound, your voice going on in your head, and it's hard to focus on what you're doing, and you lose your confidence to move forward.
Exactly. The old saw, you can't love somebody until you love yourself. But it's true. And if you're worried about everybody else's evaluation of you, you clench. But when you're not worried, interestingly enough, you can actually put your focus on them.
Right. Okay, so to explore then.
To explore, well, books are a great place to start. I just mentioned a couple of them. Classes, a good place to start. And then there are a ton of excellent TED Talks on body language and nonverbal communication, in particular the one by Amy Cuddy, which explores what's called power poses, which are all about developing self-confidence.
Excellent. So then to execute a plan.
To execute a plan, take action, a little bit of action every single day. And with body language, it's easy because you can pick an aspect of body language that works. You know, for example, you can study eye behavior for a week and just say, what do their eye behaviors say to me? And then you can study hand gestures for a week. But the important thing is to spend a few minutes, 10 to 15 minutes every day, with a very specific goal of analyzing people's body language or your own body language and how people respond to it.
Can you do me a favor? Can you think about when we met, what was your impression of me?
Outgoing, eager. That was, that, you know, the first thing that your body language carried about you was that you are eager. You were really excited to move forward. And your glee at learning new things, that really showed through. Those were the things that came to me the strongest.
That's awesome. That's all. You know, you don't know what you appear, you don't know. So that's really neat to know. And, you know, my listeners, they don't see me. They only hear me.
So, well, they hear it too, though, because I can hear it. You know, the thing about body language, we use that as a catch-all term. What we're really talking about is that aspect of our communication that is nonverbal, that is not exclusively on words. So we're talking about your personal energy, your inflection, your tone of voice. And in that sense, body language gives into the voice. It leads into the voice. So we can actually hear your body language as well.
Well, and it's funny because my hands are usually flying over here too.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can't.
Which you should. Yeah. You should. That's what headsets are wonderful. I see in your a photo of you that you're wearing a headset because their hands are free to gesture as if you're talking to a person, as if they are right there in front of you.
Right, exactly. So what closing advice do you have for us today?
My closing advice is that communication is empowering when we understand why people communicate. People communicate in order to change other people. It's really the only reason we communicate. We want to achieve some kind of change. Sometimes it's a specific behavioral change. Sometimes it's a self-referential change, like we want to be liked or appreciated or valued. But we always communicate in order to achieve a certain goal. Empowerment comes when you understand that fact, and then you act on that goal. You give the person what they want. You respond to them. When you can combine those two elements, you're golden. You have influence.
You know, Christopher, I think that your programs that you speak on helping people move past their limiting beliefs, on helping people be better listeners, and the fact that you do it in this really fun, entertaining way, as if you're reading minds, which is so powerful for people to see and to help them grow. And I'm sure this helps them, you know, work better together at their jobs and great team building at the same time. I don't know. I was on your site before our conversation and I watched your video clip on the Donnie Marie show and I read what people were saying about you. And I thought, this is the kind of presentation I would love to have. It's interactive and lots of learning. And the fact that you read body language and that you are a mentalist, somebody who is really seeing me for participating and who I am and how maybe I could further develop myself. So I wish you all the luck with that. I mean, I know you're already successful with it.
Well, thank you. But, you know, I learned a long time ago, I will never turn down luck when it is offered. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. So let's give everybody your contact information just in case they are looking for whether it's a speaker or a program or would like to get in touch with you to learn more.
Absolutely. Well, my website is super easy to find because it's my name, ChristopherCarter.com. Christopher Carter is my name, and that is my website. On Twitter, I am ESP Chris on Twitter. I'm also on LinkedIn, very easy to find, Christopher Carter. And I'm also on Facebook with a fan page, Christopher Carter Fan Page.
I want to see if we can get your fan page a part of our private group. I'm not sure if we can or not, but people could connect to you through our ultimate support system. And, you know, if you have something going on, especially in the New Jersey area, but obviously it's a global group, you know, or just to be a part of what we're talking about, maybe we can make you a part of that as well.
That'd be great. And as far as the website goes, a little reminder, I have a blog on my website on people reading, and it is filled with useful information.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm so happy that we met, and I really appreciate you coming on my show.
I am too. It's been a pleasure.
So this is the go-do, everybody. What is it, Christopher Carter, that we would like everybody to start moving in a direction and go do today?
Start to listen. We are always thinking ahead in our conversations. Think about it. Almost every conversation you ever have, you're listening to somebody's fantastic story and you're thinking, oh, I've got a better story. I better prepare that in my head. Turn that voice off and just start to listen to people.
That's such a skill. That is such a skill. I practice that all the time.
And it takes practice.
It does. So that's it, everybody. Thanks again, Christopher. And remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.